God's Love of Justice. Commentary for the February 8, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 and 6. Long ago, I met up with someone I had grown up with, but had not seen in many years. While I had graduated high school, spent several years in the Army, and attended college to obtain a degree, he had dropped out of high school, gotten involved with drugs, and had drifted through life over all those years. He had been abused as a child, and this affected his outlook to the point he felt society owed him something for that trauma. Nonetheless, he admitted that what he had been doing had not been working out for him, and he was looking for something better. I shared that my time in the Army helped me figure out a direction for my life. That would be an avenue he could explore. He said that he had already explored that option, and because of his drug history, the military was not willing to accept him as an enlistee. I suggested that if that step were closed, then maybe he could skip that and go to college and earn a marketable degree. He said that he had no money to attend college. I suggested he visit a college financial aid office and see what they could do for him. In my experience, they were usually willing to help put together a financial aid package to make a college education possible. He felt it would take too long to get a degree. I advised that he had to go through the next 4 or 5 years anyway. How he chose to experience those years could make a difference between whether his life continues as it is going now, or he discovers opportunities that had not been opened to him before. He said he would think about it, and we parted ways. When I next met up with him, he had married and had children. He had never followed up with the education advice, and he told me that he was still just barely scraping by, surviving on food stamps and what little work he was able to find. I asked him what kind of work he was doing, and he showed me pictures. Those pictures were examples of beautiful finished carpentry he had done. I shared with him how beautiful the work was and asked him how he learned such useful and artistic skills. He told me that a wealthy man wanted carpentry done and was complaining about how much money journeyman carpenters were wanting to charge him for the work. My friend commiserated with him, and after a few beers, they agreed to let him try for a more affordable price. With patience and a willingness to ask for input from others on how to complete the job, he had a happy customer, some experience, and a reference for future work. I told him how proud I was of how well he was doing, but he told me he was not doing that well. While the first job was a favor for a friend, he found that he was not earning enough to support his family with the other jobs he had completed. Because his prices were low, he had lots of work, but he just was not making it. Since I had worked as a painting contractor while attending college, I reviewed with him how he was preparing his bids. It turned out that he was covering the cost of the materials well enough, but he was not keeping track of the amount of labor he did and was charging far too little for it. I told him you need to charge for an equitable number of hours, or he would be working for free. He felt he would not get all the jobs he was getting if he did that, as price was the only reason they were coming to him. I shared with him the experience my first wife had. She was an excellent seamstress and took in sewing jobs while I was in college. She had made 2 3-piece suits for me, a beautiful wool overcoat for herself, and dresses for her and shirts for me. But she was not happy working with the public as a seamstress, as her customers talked down her work and constantly quibbled about the price. She said she felt she had to keep the price low, or she would lose even those customers. I told her if she continued that, those would be the only kind of customers she would ever have. I told her to raise her prices, and she would find she would attract a better class of customers that would appreciate her work. She followed that advice and had more customers than she could handle, because those who appreciated her work told their friends, something the quibbling customers never did, except to badmouth her. My friend felt that advice was helpful and promised to try it. Each of us has challenging experiences in life. It is easy to succumb to the feeling that no one has had to deal with the challenges that we have had to face. But when we do that, we rob ourselves of happiness we might otherwise have had. It can be very tempting to cross our arms in a huff and refuse to move on with our lives until the world says it is sorry. But the world does not care. It will move on with or without us. It is tempting to think that those who appear more blessed than us, financially, physically, or geographically, have an unfair advantage and therefore owe us something in return. But to feel that way without evidence that they have somehow disadvantaged us is not just. It is true that some have advanced themselves at the expense of others, but when we feel that is the only reason we are not prospering, it may be time to examine our lives and seek out advice about how to move forward productively. It may not be as helpful to ask our peers as it would be to find those who have achieved what we would like to achieve and ask for mentoring to get there. Something that some might consider an adjunct to all of this, but which I consider essential, is developing a relationship with Christ. Life throws many challenges at us, even when we are on the right path to success. When we have developed a faith-based life, it is easier to have faith in the process. When I was applying for work after college, interviewers advised me that the degree major was less important than the knowledge that I could stick with something for the years it took to graduate while overcoming obstacles along the way. Because of the amount of time it took to achieve competency in some fields, they felt it was important they not expend tens of thousands of dollars bringing someone up to the level of self-actualized competency if they were just going to quit rather than work to overcome the challenges they would certainly face. This is a just expectation. That expectation is not limited to the work arena. Our friends rightly have similar expectations, just as we also do of them. And it does not end there. Forming a relationship with Jesus means that we agree to certain expectations as well. Although he is far more willing to give of his time for our advancement than even our closest friends or family are able to do, he still expects loyalty as a just expectation of that relationship. Isn't that really high on the list of what any friends expect of one another? Nonetheless, there probably is not an ocean big enough to hold a record of all the times friends have proven unfaithful. But friendship with Jesus is unique. While the male and female friends we have had in our lives may not forgive us when we wander and prove unfaithful, Jesus does not condemn us for our perfidy. Instead, he is the first to say, "You see, that went wrong. Shall we try again?" Love is like that. Some would portray God as a being who is just waiting for people to stumble so he can torture and abuse them. Jesus came to put the lie to that characterization. God takes no delight in the struggles of those who choose to go their own way and refuse his offer of a relationship founded in love and kindness. Humanity walked away from God in the beginning, but God has not given up on the idea that we might yet walk together as we did in Eden. When we feel we have been wronged, we turn our back on the one who has betrayed us so. However, despite every justifiable provocation to do so, God has not, because he is love, according to 1 John 4, verse 8. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to other articles written by the author, as well as a link to the bookstore where his books are for sale. Once again, that's at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.